In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Today, being Quinquagesima Sunday, also known as the Sunday next before Lent, the last Sunday of the pre-Lenten season, is a somewhat lesser known but nonetheless important marker in the Christian liturgical calendar. Falling on the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, it signifies the final phase leading into the somber observance of Lent. Pre-Lent, as I have pointed out before, is in the traditional calendar an important period of transition between the celebratory atmosphere of Christmas and Epiphany and the stark and penitential nature of Lent as we look toward the passion and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And also as we ponder our own human sinfulness, for which he was willing to die, even the shameful and agonizing death of the cross, to save us. On Quinquagesima Sunday, which in the Western tradition falls 50 days before Easter Sunday, as I say, we are leading up to the season of Lent, and the counting of these days is interesting. Lent is only 40 days in length because the Sundays in Lent, notice Sundays in Lent, not of Lent, are still and always feasts of the resurrection of our Lord. Although they may be celebrated in a way that is less festal and more somber than a typical Sunday, they are not part of the Lenten season of fasting and penitence in the same way that the weekdays are. So if you have decided to give up, say, chocolate or something like that for Lent, you would be able to, should you choose, partake of a moderate portion thereof on the Sundays of Lent, remembering, as I say, that they are festivals of our Lord's resurrection, and then, of course, return on Monday. In the early centuries of Christianity, the observance of Quinquagesima was marked by a heightened focus on spiritual readiness, which, of course, is the whole point and purpose of having a Lenten discipline in the first place, emphasizing the importance of repentance and reflection and encouraging believers to examine their lives and seek forgiveness for our sins. This period was not only about individual introspection, but also about communal preparation as congregations collectively turned their attention toward the upcoming Lenten fast, and of course ultimately to the events of Holy Week and Easter when Christ worked out his salvation in his own person. As part of that preparation, the readings for Quinquagesima Sunday remind us of the primary importance of the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity in the Christian life, and how these virtues are necessary for a fruitful practice of Lent and preparation for Easter. In our epistle lesson this morning, we read St. Paul's famous hymn to charity, or what newer translations of the scripture tend to render as love, because we in the English language have only that one word, love, to cover a variety of different actual moods or emotions. Charity, as the apostle understands it, is deeper and more complex than the modern meaning of the word. Charity is what we think of as helping those who are in need. So while it may seem a bit odd at first that the virtue of charity is referred to in Christian thought as the ultimate theological virtue, it makes sense when you understand what a theological virtue actually is. It is a virtue that is directed primarily towards God rather than primarily towards humankind. Now again, charity may seem to be, in the modern idiom, directed toward people rather than God. And in terms of its effects, that is true if you're thinking of, you know, giving to charity. But the deeper reality is that charity that is directed away from God or other than God, or worse yet, counter to his will, is not actually charity. It is self-centered and destructive. In today's world, we tend to think of charity almost exclusively in instrumental terms, that is, in terms of its effects. Basically, being nice to people, showing compassion, giving them what they need, or what they think they need, or say that they need. But on that deeper level that I mentioned, not all of what we think of charity really is caritas, which is where that word comes from, or in Greek, agape. Loving people as God loves them. If you love a hungry person, you may give him food. But if that hungry person is a diabetic, is it loving to give him candy? It's sort of food, right? But is that going to ultimately help him or harm him more? And if a person is struggling with issues of, say, for example, same-sex attraction or body dysphoria, is it truly loving to treat him in a way which enables his dysfunction, his illusory beliefs about what he is and how he should be acting? In such cases, it is actually more loving to say in caring and compassion, not in anger or disdain, "No, my friend, this is not who you are. This is not what you should be doing. This is not how God, your Creator, made you. And I love you and care for you enough not to feed into your erroneous beliefs, but to encourage you to truly engage them, debate them, and find out what and who you truly are." Because counter to what society tells us these days, God does not make mistakes. And the flip side of the coin, the fact that this must be done with genuine love and caring, is also shown in this passage. The fact that without charity, nothing one does is valuable. As St. Paul writes, "If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I should have prophecy and should know all mysteries and all knowledge," sound like what we're trying to do today? "And if I should have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor," and if I should, which is what we think of as charity, right? "And if I should deliver my body to be burned and have not charity," have not caritas, have not agape, "it profiteth me nothing. If I have not caritas, love for my neighbor in the sense of truly desiring his or her ultimate good and not just their temporary feeling of well-being, then it will be of no effect and indeed may do more harm than good." Tying this back into the pre-Lent season and our goal of a holy and spiritually nourishing Lent, we may wonder, why does the Church give us this reading today, right before the beginning of Lent? It is to remind us that any penances we may do, anything we may give up or add on as part of our Lenten discipline, no matter how difficult or challenging it may be for us personally, is useless without charity. Lent is not a physical endurance test or a contest to see who has the most willpower. And in any case, we cannot earn our way to salvation. Through our own voluntary sufferings, Lent should draw us closer to the source of our salvation, our suffering Lord. Only by offering up our sacrifices in charity can this be done. Another theological virtue, faith, is emphasized in today's gospel. A blind beggar hears that Jesus of Nazareth is approaching, and he cries out in faith, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He doesn't care what those around him think about this. When they tell him to be quiet, he continues to cry out. Why? Because he has faith that Jesus can cure him. And our Lord recognizes that faith. After healing the poor man, Jesus tells him that "thy faith hath made thee well." During Lent, we must use the eyes of faith to see that our penances and our sacrifices are in the service of a greater good. In a modern world that tells us to seek personal pleasure at every moment, we instead recognize that denying ourselves pleasure can be a very worthwhile endeavor. Only if we see beyond this world can we recognize that our earthly pleasures are fleeting, yet our earthly sufferings can be of eternal value. And of course, this ties in with what I noted above. It may be superficially comforting to have erroneous beliefs affirmed, even celebrated, but it does not redound to our ultimate good. Indeed, it may redound to our ultimate destruction. Faith that God is good, and therefore that his ways are good, gives us perspective and the ability to perceive that our comforting errors may give us a false sense of pleasure and relief, when in fact they are harming us in ways we do not and cannot see. Much as an alcoholic may find comfort in the bottle while ignoring the fact that his alcoholism is destroying his health, his family, his life. And finally, the coming season of Lent is a time of hope. Somber though it may be, even painful as it may be at times, as we ponder our own sinfulness, Lent is a time of preparation for the celebration of what is literally the most hopeful event in human history, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing gives hope more than the fact that our Lord defeated sin and death, and that in uniting ourselves to him, we too can defeat these most ancient and bitter enemies of humankind. So on this Quinquagesima Sunday, as we stand on the very threshold of Lent, let us pray to the Lord God Almighty for an increase in faith, hope, and charity, that in dying with Christ during Lent, we might rise with him at Easter, who livest and reignest, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one God, now and forever. Amen.